You're with Cape Talk.
This is Pippa Hudson on Lunch.
Now, it is such a pleasure to have with us in studio today a food blogger, writer, stylist, photographer whose new cookbook just oozes nostalgia and the beautiful sort of comforting feeling that food that gives you a hug feels like, if I can put it that way. It's about unhurried meals enjoyed around a table with the people you love, taking the time to appreciate your family's cooking legacy and to recreate those recipes for the next generations. Her name is Teresa Elliott. The book is called Cupcakes and Couscous, and if that sounds familiar, that might mean that you're already a fan of a very successful blog of the same name, which has been offering inspiration for, I think it's 10 years already, Teresa.
Yes,
wow.
Right.
So lovely to have you with us. And
Thank you. This book
is absolutely gorgeous, and I think it's just perfectly timed. So I wasn't at all surprised to hear you say coming in, it's doing rather well, isn't it? Exclusive
yes,
books.
We are number one at EB Cavendish.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah, really chuffed.
I'm not at all surprised though. And I'm kicking myself because I actually went to all the effort of making one of the recipes last night and then I forgot to photograph it so that I could tweet my effort. I have to tell you, I made it with a bit of an oopsie. There's the most gorgeous cherry cheesecake tart with melted white chocolate mixed into the cheesecake filling. And it's meant to have blobs of sort of cherry jam sort of thing, isn't it?
Exactly, yes. That. Yeah, they're stewed and they go nice and soft and then that's dotted over the top.
And you sort of swirl it through to make it look amazing,
which is
great on paper if the cherries you are cooking are actually cherries, not, as they were in my case, frozen grapes that I'd taken out the freezer by accident. But for the record, it works really well with grape jam as well.
Well, that's great. I wouldn't have tried that, so thank you for that note on
just
that one.
Just saying, you can mention me in the cliff notes of the next one.
Definitely.
For those who haven't discovered Teresa's writing, let me just fill you in on some background now. She has a national diploma in food and nutrition. She has many years' experience working in the food retail space and deli management. You were making all kinds of goodies for Melissa's at one point,
right,
weren't you?
I was one of their suppliers back in the day, so that was great fun.
So a journey that's taken you sort of into the heart of the food world in many different guises, but you took a decision when you became a mom that you wanted a bit more flexibility and you wanted to be able to be at home. So the blogging aspect, the freelance work became a bigger thing for you. And thank heavens for that, because we have this book to show for it. Now, your two kids were at your book launch last week.
Right.
Are they your biggest tasters?
They really are.
Yeah.
And they're great. They give me very constructive feedback. They're very honest and they're always open to trying new things.
That's fantastic.
Very enthusiastic foodies. So it does help just to have that enthusiasm in the house.
So they've obviously grown up stirring, tasting, baking from the time they could walk. It was very much the same for you though, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Well, baking was always my first love. Mm-hmm. My mom used to make all our own cakes and cookies and things like that. So I would always be on standby to lick the bowl, throw ingredients in. That was the best part. I mean, isn't that why we bake?
Absolutely. Add a bit of this and see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah. So I always loved that. And we had holiday traditions of doing, you know, Christmas mince pies and cookies. So that was always such a favorite exercise to do. And so it just kind of went from there. And it was very much something I grew up with. And homemade is always just been the norm for me.
Yeah.
And we took it from there. Yeah.
You know, it's something that is not to be taken for granted, because everybody is so time stressed these days that we do take shortcuts. A lot of people,
of course,
by necessity need the frozen meal deliveries or the home boxes that you throw together at the last minute yourself. But there is something so beautiful about taking the time to do it from scratch slowly with the family around you. I mean, Teresa, it's clear reading the chapter introductions and hearing you speak last week at the book launch that it is that act of the coming together in the kitchen and around the dining room table that's almost as important to you as the flavor of what's been eaten.
It's so important. And, you know, whether you're having toasted cheese sarmies around the table on a Saturday afternoon or a roast dinner on a Sunday, whatever it is, it's just that coming together, enjoying the meal, chatting about your day. I think that is really, that time is gold. And that is the most important thing, whatever you're eating.
Roast dinner on a Sunday, or in your case, roast chicken on a Monday. Tell us about the roast chicken. I mean, the recipe is in here. The chickens look so succulent and gorgeous. But this is one of those dishes that for you is kind of woven into your childhood.
Such a nostalgic recipe.
Yeah.
It's a divine recipe. The chicken comes out beautifully tender every single time. It's absolutely delicious. But in my house, we would often have roast chicken on a Monday night. So I would be sitting in my room doing my homework and I would smell these beautiful aromas of chicken coming down the passage. And so it's such a strong food memory for me. We always had it with this very thick gravy, which I always remember. So there's a homemade gravy recipe there as well. It sounds a bit daunting. It's actually very, very quick. The The prep time is very quick. The cooking, I mean, the oven does all the cooking.
Yeah.
But such a special recipe, and I think really great for families, and actually quite easy to achieve.
And really, really appealing in that it's all in one dish, isn't it?
Yes.
Which reduces the washing up afterwards.
We love that, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so the Monday night Hobie roast chicken with rosemary and thyme and lots of butter, and it looks like you want to lick
delicious.
The page. It's absolutely gorgeous. choosing recipes, you've got 10 years worth of blog. I can't even imagine how many thousands of recipes are in the arsenal and the library. How did you actually go about choosing what to include in the book?
It is quite hard, I mean, especially when you're looking at a blank piece of paper. But once I got going, I really wanted to have a balance of meals. So there's savory and there's sweet, there's quick meals, there's meals that take a little bit longer, there's wholesome meals, there's more decadent treats. So I really wanted to create a balance for everyone. There's some vegetarian options, there's a gluten-free cake. So something for everyone. The variety was the main factor when I chose the recipes. Yeah.
What I love, one of the many things I love about this book is what you've done towards the end. Is the final chapter is called Come On Over, and it's how to pull these recipes together to host a dinner party.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's not just saying, here's a great way to cook roast chicken. It's if you're going to host a dinner party and you want to do the chicken as the main dish, the starter would work well with it, or put it with this pudding at the end of it.
That's
which
it.
I think is a really smart addition. There are so many gorgeous recipes. I don't know where to start, but let's just pop through some of the chapters. I mean, the one thing that stood out for me in the breakfast chapter, which is called Greet the Day, is how you managed to sort of turn muesli into pudding, because apple pie granola tarts. Tell us the origin of that dish.
Yeah. So amazing. So I did a similar kind of recipe on the blog. It was a granola tart, but a bigger version. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how could I do a wholesome version of this with the sort of stewed apple element, which I love. It's another comfort food for me.
Yep.
And I thought, let me do an apple pie style tart, but it's muesli and yogurt and fruit, essentially. So it's almost like a little dessert, but it's very wholesome. The kids will love it. And yeah, it's just my version of an apple pie for breakfast.
And if not, why not? Absolutely, why not?
Yeah.
I'm going to skip over the midday bites for lunch and the super suppers we've already given a nod to through the chicken. Sweet dreams. Look, it is very apparent that you have a sweet tooth,
Teresa, I do indeed, yes.
Because these are works of art in this particular chapter. The one that really caught my eye, the fruit crumble with rooibos ice cream, partly because of the vibrancy of the colour of the fruit crumble in this beautiful photography. But rooibos ice cream. I've got a family of absolute dedicated tea lovers, and we have put rooibos into just about every broth and savoury dish I can think of, including little tuna mousses and things like that.
Lovely.
But I'd never thought of making ice cream with it.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to include rooibos somewhere. Mm. It's so South African, and I wanted to give it a bit of a nod in the book. And I was thinking, how could I put this in somewhere, and I was thinking you could infuse it into milk, and you can use the milk to make ice cream. And so that's how I incorporated it into the dessert chapter, and it just works beautifully. It's such a delicious ice cream. It's my daughter's favorite dessert in the book.
Okay.
So it comes Maggie recommended.
Okay, well, you can't ask for a higher endorsement than that, because Maggie was incredibly honest at your book launch.
She was, yes.
She wasn't holding any punches, and she wasn't picking favorites. She was very straightforward. So that's a high recommendation. Of course, the other very high recommendation that came out of your book launch was a member of the audience sticking up her hand and saying, we never usually eat potatoes, but I tried the potato bake in this book, and now my family asked me to bring it to every meal.
That
must have
so
made your
special.
Heart sing. Tell us about that potato bake. What is so special about it?
So it's in the braai chapter, and for us, you can't have a braai without a potato bake. It's always the first thing that disappears. We love a good potato bake, but I wanted to make something a little bit different. So I've actually served it with a bacon crumble on top. Mm. You could leave it off for a vegetarian version, but it's a little bit decadent, but absolutely delicious. There's beautiful flavors in there. And that is one of my husband's favorites as well.
Okay.
He always requests that one.
It looks absolutely gorgeous. I mean, bacon goes with everything, in
my
opinion. So what could go wrong? Now, there is the Braai chapter, by the way, has got some really wonderful ideas for vegetarians at the Braai as well.
That's
I have to give a mention to the miso aubergine, which looks so, so stunning. One of our listeners, Teresa, is asking how many times you actually make a meal before you're satisfied to put the recipe into the book and take the photograph.
So that's a very good question. I can tell you that every single recipe was tested multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
My minimum is three, but it's usually more.
Okay.
And then when we shoot the book, that's another test run. I mean, some went all the way up to 15, 16 repetitions.
Gosh.
But I would often cook the meals at home for my family. So it was probably at least five times for each. So I can tell you they are very well tested.
Okay. Well, all I can say is if you ever need help testing the cheesecake in particular again, you know where to look. It was divine.
Well, I'm coming to you for ideas for toppings because clearly you have good ones.
Cheesecake with accidental grape jam is going to go down in family history, I think.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, though, celebrations, there is a chapter full of, you know, the real showstopper stuff. If you're wanting to celebrate a special occasion and really pull out all the stops. And I turned to the first one and I must confess, I looked at it and I thought, well, that's never going to happen because no way am I ever going to be a good enough baker to make a 6-layer celebration cake. But then you told me at the book launch that you actually bake those 6 layers individually, Teresa.
That's
so it's not a case of having to cut in half and shape them to the right height and all of that.
No, that's all done for you.
So it's perhaps looks more intimidating than it actually is. But tell us what is so special about this cake.
So it's lovely to have a showstopper for birthdays, for Christmas or Easter. Mm. It's not the typical cake I would make every weekend. But if you really want a showstopper for the middle of your table, maybe for a special birthday, that's the one to do. We've done a coffee cake for the book, but there's a rainbow cake variation as well. So for kids' parties, that's an incredible
so you could
idea.
Dye, and because you're cooking them separately, you could dye each layer a different color.
Separately.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So you can customize it the way you want. It's got a beautiful Swiss meringue buttercream as well, which is very easy to work with. And I've laid out the instructions, I think, quite clearly. So hopefully it's easy to follow. And I've made it numerous times. It always comes out beautifully. So don't be intimidated.
That's a challenge to me to try. I have to say, though, I said to Teresa, this, I looked at it and my first thought was, you will never be able to do that. And my second thought was, this is going to be a pressure test in the next season of MasterChef South Africa.
That would be amazing.
So I want to see that happen, Teresa. I hope it happens. I mean, this book is selling so well because I think you've just tapped into perfect timing, our consciousness of slowing down. And maybe this is the one, if we have to look for a positive out of lockdown and COVID, perhaps it was that moment of pause, allowing us to breathe, to slow down, to have that shared time together at the table that life often robs us of.
Completely agree with you.
So I think this is extremely well timed in tapping into that sort of zeitgeist, if I can call it that.
Yeah.
The book is called Cupcakes and Couscous, From My Kitchen to Yours, and it's published by Human and Rousseau. It is in all of the good bookstores now, if you can get your hands on a copy, because by the sounds of things they're flying off faster than the chocolate chip cookies were flying off the trays on Thursday. Teresa, I wish you all the best. I think it's such a beautiful book and I hope there's going to be a follow-up. My final question is whether you've thought about it.
I have thought about it. I'm definitely up for it. So we'll let this one have its time and then I'll keep you all posted. Fingers crossed for another one.
Looking forward to that one as well. Cupcakes and Couscous by Teresa Elliott. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.